There is a fandom in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it
whole. Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning, and welcome again to Step Into the Light. My guest, Jennifer Slattery, is the author of over a dozen novels, countless articles, and numerous devotions. She is a speaker who co-hosts the Faith Over Fear podcast and also the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. She has addressed women's groups, Bible studies, and writers across the nation. Jennifer is the founder of Holy Love Ministries, and her passion is to help women experience Christ's freedom in all areas of their lives. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Hi, Patty. Thank you for having me.
Jennifer, do you realize it's been 7 years to this month, in fact, since you were on the last show that I used to do with my podcast partner, Derek, and I went back and listened to that show the other day, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it has been 7 whole years since we've been in touch as far as speaking with each other.
Wow, that's amazing. I'll have to go listen. I wonder if it's like a whole lifetime ago, right?
Well, I know you've moved on to other things, and I've picked up some other things. I'm now doing my own podcast. Derek is off doing something of his own. And, yeah, it's interesting to see how things change over time.
I sure love the writing community, too, that we can make these relationships and then just stick with them over time. It's really fun to see.
Yes, it is. Jennifer, you are involved in so many wonderful endeavors that enable you to share the gospel. And when I read about people like you, it brings to the forefront in my mind the question, is this something, a seed that was planted in your heart when you were a young child? Did you grow up in a Christian environment or not so much?
Yeah. So I kind of went to church from my perspective, hit and miss. And I received Christ as my Savior as a very young girl. I don't remember how old I was, and it was through a Good News Neighborhood Bible Club. I lived in a really tiny timber town, Oak Ridge, Oregon, and we lived in this poor trailer park community. And this woman named Dorothy, she just opened her home to a bunch of dirty, rowdy kids from the neighborhood, and I don't actually remember anything she said, except I do remember her very clearly. Like, I can still visualize her in my mind, and I remember she fed us popcorn. I guess that was a big thing to me, and I remember the day she told me about Jesus, that Jesus had died for me, and that was kind of a piece that really resonated super, super deeply with me, but I never really went beyond that, I guess, level of my faith. And in high school, I began to really self-destruct. And I ultimately ended up homeless, kind of starting at about 15 or so. And kind of the years are all, you know how your memory kind of, you get bits and pieces and timelines kind of merge together. So I'm speaking from that. But so by the time I was 15, I initially was living with friends, and I kind of moved from place to place and couch to couch, and I ultimately ended up homeless. Every night when I would go to bed, I mean, I was just living in ways that were incredibly self-destructive, and I know just grieved God's heart. I alternated between two things. There were times when I would think, okay, maybe if I just drink enough, I'll never wake up, and that seemed like a very, I did not want to live, but I was too scared to figure out a way to end my life. And so I just had all these ideas of the painless, easy way to go. God had other ideas. But at the same time, so it was like I was I was wanting out of the pain I felt, and I didn't know a way out of that. And I had zero hope. I didn't even have enough hope to think of having hope, if that makes any kind of sense, or even to think farther ahead from just surviving each day. And so part of me wanted to die, but then part of me also, each night when I went to bed, I would ask God to forgive me, and I would ask him to send someone to help me. And he did. He sent my husband. And I tell you what, I would die for that man, because he has just been such a godsend to me. And initially, he just was super kind and generous. One day he gave me $200. He just came up to me and gave me $200. Honestly, at the time, that kind of made all my suspicions rise up. I'm like, what do you want from me? And really, he just wanted to give it to me. And I asked him later, I'm like, why did you do that? And he's like, well, you needed it. And that was kind of just, he just kept coming around. And he like took me out to breakfast, and he took me out to lunch. And one day he took me golfing, which that was such a powerful, he has no idea. He does now, because I told him, but he had no idea how deeply that impacted me. Because here I was, this like street girl, right? And here is this businessman taking me on a golf course. If he was ashamed of me or embarrassed of me, he didn't give any indication. And in fact, he just treated me with such dignity and kindness and gentleness and respect. Initially in our relationship, we didn't do things in a godly manner. He was not following Christ at the time. And obviously I wasn't living with Christ at the time. And so we lived with one another outside of marriage for a while. But even then, there was so, so much grace from Christ. So we moved. It was shortly after. I mean, we were kind of hanging out and going golfing and all of those things that he was introducing, I guess, to his world. And then one day he said, you know, I'm moving to Nebraska. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yeah, which it floors me even now that I just, without even thinking, I went, because at that point in my life, I hated men. I was terrified of men. I had a huge distrust. And for some reason, there was something in him that I kind of freaked out later. There's a lot of layers to healing that can kind of come out when you start getting stable feet under you. But I just see that as a grace of God of bringing me to this place. We went to our first home that we moved into was in North Platte, Nebraska. And we lived in this little apartment on A Street, because North Platte's pretty small. And pastors just started coming around. Like, they started stopping at our door, and one pastor and his wife took us out to lunch. And never once did they say, hey, you know what? You guys really shouldn't be living together. Like, you guys are in sin. You guys need to get it together. And I look back on that, and I think if they would have said that to me, I would have been out. Like, I already felt that. I already felt like I was dirt, right? Like, I already knew that I was not living as God wanted me to live. I didn't know how to live different, and I didn't think I could. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, but like I said, when I didn't even think that far ahead, I was kind of still in a little bit of survival mode. And instead, God just loved me and loved me and loved me and loved me for years. And then when we moved to Southern California and we got plugged into a church that was just the most beautiful, gracious church. And by now I'm kind of, I always will liken it to, you know, a street girl trying to live in middle class suburbia. There was so much that was confusing to me. So much of the culture was confusing to me, and my worldview was so warped, and my perspective was so warped. But yet these people just started coming alongside me and really not demanding anything of me, but just showing me the love and the grace of Christ. And as they did, I began to heal just in profound ways. I healed first, I changed second, and it was a little bit of gradual with both. But I think sometimes we think the change has to come first and then people will heal. Or then they will, you know, then life will be, they'll be walking with Christ or whatever. Or I think sometimes we expect, and I still do this even after my journey, teaching me otherwise, I will still expect people to kind of heal and change on my timetable. Like, I'll think, okay, well, I've been discipling you for a year now. I've been pouring into you for a year now. You should be further along, or you should have a different perspective. And when I look back over my journey, my healing, like really pretty deep, intense healing, took 15 years of marriage before I honestly believed my husband loved me. And so I try to remember when I am in ministry, like when I'm serving others, and when I forget, God reminds me, praise God. But it can take a lifetime to undo all of the complexities that keep people from Christ and their and freedom in Him. So I think it was that journey, that standing, just how dark the darkness can be, how confusing the Christian world can be, and how long it can take, like, for our perceptions and our worldviews to shift, and also seeing sometimes what seems like, and again, from my own behaviors, but what I would say is kind of some weaknesses we have within the church that can produce unnecessary roadblocks and barriers between the very people that God is wanting to heal through us.
Yes, for sure. Jennifer, I just love to have a guest like you who just pours out your heart and tells your story with such passion. So thank you so much for that. And I wanted to say, in listening to where you were compared to where you are now, there were four words that just jumped right at me. And those four words were, God had other ideas. And isn't that just the crux of our hope? When you see someone who is living a very destructive lifestyle, or maybe we ourselves are doing that, and yet God can step in and just create a 180-degree turnaround in a person's life. And I think that's one of the things that is so amazing about our God. So thank you so much for sharing that. You really brought that to light, most definitely.
Thank you for asking.
I know that you have founded Holy Loved Ministries. Tell us about this ministry.
Sure. So it kind of grew out of, I guess, just my story. And again, it's one of those things that, like you said, God kind of had a plan before I was alert to it, and it took me a while to catch on. And sometimes I feel like I'm still kind of catching on to His vision. But so I was leading a women's ministry at a local church. And I was, at the time, I was writing for one particular publisher, and I had a book that was coming out. It was actually Restoring Love. Okay. And it was coming out around February, and I really wanted to do something in line with just God's healing love and kind of like He is our, and this will sound a little cheesy, but like Him being our Valentine, like how He is the ultimate lover of our soul. And so I was planning this event, and for the year prior, God had consistently been putting it on my heart to launch something like Holy Love Ministries, but I didn't really understand what that was or even how to go about it. And so I started putting on this event. It was a book launch event, and I started gathering people around me, like, to kind of fulfill the vision that I had. I wanted music, and I wanted talking, and I wanted it to be like this healing experience. And as I was connecting with these women, it started with four of us total, and I'm hearing their stories, and I'm realizing that God brought this team around me. It kind of clicked in my mind, and when I'm hearing, you know, they're sharing how God had been preparing them to help women heal and break free from shame, it felt like we were kind of all heading in the same direction, but we didn't fully know what that direction was. I just kind of broached a conversation with them. I'm like, this is what I'm seeing. Like, this is, what do you think? And so we met for coffee, and we kind of quickly decided, okay, what are we going to do? What are we about? What's our vision? We started calling churches in the local area and just sharing a little, you know, say, hey, we'd like to meet with you, share our vision. And within, I think, like that first week, we had four meetings. So I called all the ladies back, and I'm like, okay, we got to figure this out, because I have no idea what we're doing, and it feels serious now. So we got back together, And we got a little more clarification. We kind of talked things through and prayed things through. And that first year, we largely just did events in our local area, and it just kind of grew from that. And so we started with events where we would go into different churches and retreat centers, and we would put on these presentations, and then we created like breakout discussions so that women could have table time, talking time, and kind of build relationships. And the biggest thing was to help them break free from shame, and to help them experience the freedom of living with Jesus Christ, recognizing that a big part of, a big aspect that hinders our freedom is past hurts that we haven't healed from, shame that we're still holding on to. And so that can be a huge block from us really living in freedom and then living out our calling to help other people live in freedom. So it started with that, and that was actually in September of 2016, so it hasn't been that long, but God just seemed to kind of, just as we kept saying yes, and I often call it grabbing hold of his coattails, because sometimes it feels that way. And now it's, you know, what is that, 6 years later, and we have a global audience, a growing global audience. We have our podcast that reaches hundreds of thousands of people. Our daily Bible plans reach hundreds of thousands of people. We've got online groups, and we've got two private online support groups. We still do events. We shut down our events during COVID, obviously, but again, God used that to kind of open up new avenues where now we're seeing a lot of the people that were walking beside, trying to intentionally walk beside, don't have community. And maybe their greatest community is online. And so we're, you know, God was kind of opening doors for us to meet them where they're at and help them find, you know, whatever their next step of healing and growth and freedom and community building is.
Wow. It sounds like you really have, you have been very blessed with this, Jennifer. And I think you're to be praised for all of your hard work in getting that organized, Jennifer. And it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people.
Well, thank you. I would actually just say that's a lot of grace of God, because I do not have the gift of organization. And so he just fills in my gaps, and he seems to bring the right people who have strengths where I'm weak. And so I'm super, super grateful for that. But I'm also, and I think this might be kind of a key, at least it seems key to our ministry. And so I think it might be a key to ministry in general, is we're not afraid to fail. We're not afraid to drop balls, and we're not afraid to hear incorrectly. So meaning there are times when you're like, well, is this really what God's leading? Is he really leading in this way? Or because this is hard, does that mean he's leading in this way? We just say, okay, God, I think this is what you're saying. I think this is what you're doing. And so redirect us if not. And then if we run full speed ahead and 4 miles down the road, we realize we got to take a hard U-turn and run 4 miles back. We don't call that really a loss. We would just say, you know what? I heard wrong, but I know God, you know, God knows we're trying to follow him. And so we're going to run the other way. You ready? Let's go. And it takes away the fear factor, the fear of failure, or the fear of getting it wrong, that I think can really hinder maybe what God wants to do some of the time.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes those U-turns are wonderful learning lessons for us. We gain an awful lot from that experience that we may not realize at the time, but later you look back and it's like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't experienced that. So yeah. Well, tell us about your writing, Jennifer. What sparked your interest? I realize you've written devotions and you've written articles for many years, but you're also a novel writer. What sparked your interest in writing, and what genre do you like to write, and why?
Wow, that's a long answer. Let's see.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So, I mean, I've always written, but I never really thought of it like a career. It just never entered my mind that writing was something anybody would do for, you know, other than a hobby. And I, when I got plugged into that church I referenced earlier, that was just such a healing place for me. They started allowing me to serve and started to allow me to have somewhat leadership positions, like in small spheres. But, and so I began writing mainly just for ministry. So for, I'm like, I did outreach events and I decided one Easter, I'm like, hey, let's do a drama. And so I wrote the drama. I probably could have found a drama online. I didn't even think about it. I just wrote it. And I wrote curriculum because I wanted to do like a Saturday program. It was like a, it was, the curriculum was kind of like a fun, like little science type thing that I wanted to kind of draw people from the community on weekends to help them get, you know, to see that church wasn't a scary place, to maybe start to get some exposure to church. And I wrote parent newsletters. And one afternoon, the children's director, she asked me to write a story for a children's program we had. And so I was just kind of brainstorming on the story. It was a biblical fiction. And I was running. I was kind of thinking and praying and brainstorming and running. And it just hit me that I enjoyed that. And it hit me like in a profound way, more than just like, hey, this is fun. But in a way where it started to, I started to become alert that writing, it hit me in a way, it fulfilled me in a way and brought me a sense of so deep joy that felt very unique at the time, because I'm just kind of really learning who I am in Jesus, right, and starting to come alive in him. And so I started to just kind of experiment. And my husband actually, he saw the writer in me before I did. And so he started encouraging me. And he would, when our daughter was younger, he would watch her after dinner. And I would go upstairs and I would write for a bit. And praise God, those stories and poems and all those things are not to be found, dead on the old IBM dinosaur computer that we had at the time, because they were probably horrific. And then I moved, so we just kind of kept moving, and I initially, which I will not admit to these books, so I hope you never find them, but I initially self-published. I was so green, Patty. I didn't even know there was a thing as Christian publishing. I know that sounds so ignorant. I really did not. And I'm just like, well, somebody should write Christian books. Nobody does that. I think I'll do that.
That's funny.
What I did. And I went to a book signing, actually, at a bookstore in Emporia, Kansas. I think it was Emporia, Kansas. And I met a woman from ACFW there. And
oh, for
never
goodness
both,
sake.
Actually. Yes. And we were talking.
Wow.
And I'm just like, huh. So, like, there's people who do this and they connect together and so I started getting plugged into ACFW in 2009 was actually when I joined, and I just felt like this whole world was open to me. And I started doing the critique groups and just kind of following, just step by step learning and growing. And at the time, so I kind of started my, I guess, writing, like back at that church when I was talking about, where I did, you know, I spoke at Bible studies and to a small group. And so I always thought I thought that's what I was going to do, that I was going to like speak at churches and I was going to do nonfiction. And fiction kind of hit me as a surprise. Then I started writing in fiction and I found I really enjoyed it. And it became a way that I could experience Christ. You know, it felt like it was a real intimate time between he and I. Now I'm actually kind of venture. I do more probably. I create more nonfiction content than fiction, just between my articles and my podcast and devotions. And so it's interesting to me to, you know, how God kind of almost full circled me back.
Yes.
But yeah, that was how it started. So
I was going to ask you, how do you manifest your faith in your writing? Obviously, you've been doing that from the very beginning. If you were seeking out ways to spread your faith message in novels, and here there was an organization already out there. Jennifer, Small Town Refuge is the name of your latest.
Right.
novel. So if you would, just give us a short little synopsis of that story and what you hope readers will take away from it.
Sure. So it's about a young woman. She was in an abusive relationship, and it was one of those, like, it was her high school sweetheart. And so he always had kind of a propensity for a more intense personality, a little bit of an obsessive personality and possessive personality, but she didn't notice the red flags. Like, who does in high school, right? She didn't notice a lot of the red flags in high school. Well, he went away to war. And while there, he got hooked on drugs, and he also has PTSD. And so a lot of his more intense traits really turned dangerous. And so he became abusive. And she, you know, I mean, it's really challenging for women in abusive relationships. There's so many things that make it challenging for them to leave. And this was true for her until one night, when she was pregnant, actually, and her husband got in a bar fight, and he committed, is it manslaughter? I think so. It's not the intentional one, but when they're killed in manslaughter,
right?
Correct. And so he went to jail for that, which it did two things for her. One, it gave her some space to leave. It gave her the ability to actually feel like she could leave without him hunting her down, and you know, so it gave her a little more extra courage. And then two, it really opened her eyes. That could have been her. And so that also, and now she's pregnant, and so it could have been her baby. So it gives an extra motivation that propelled her feet. Well, by this point, she was in California, and she did not live near her mom. And so she kind of had to take those first few steps alone. And she went to a women and children shelter specifically for domestic abuse survivors. And there she received a lot of healing. She experienced therapy, and she developed some life skills that would help her kind of take steps to land on her feet. And she always wanted to be a vet. And so she went to school for a vet tech degree. And then here is part of her program, this women and children's shelter that she was part of, they had all these programs that kind of helped women get their fresh start, which can be really hard if you're a single mom to kind of, you know, find your niche in those early phases when you're not really making enough money to support yourself and your child, but you want to find better employment, then we'll just support you right now. And so it's kind of that weird phase that she needed a little extra help. So she moved in with a couple in a small town in Texas who have been part of this program before. They're known and trusted, and they've opened their home to other women before. And so she moves there with her daughter, which allows her to participate in an internship program that she's hoping will lead to long-term employment. And it also provides her so with childcare for her daughter while she's, you know, again, trying to get her feet under her, and continued healing too, just in this small community where she's kind of learning to really discover who she is, because she met her husband, like I said, in high school. I don't think any of us really figure out who we are until we're mid-20s anyway. And so she's, you know, figuring out who she is, what she wants to do, what part of who she thought she was, you know, because of abuse and what healthy community looks like and just all of those things. So in a nutshell, and then while she's there, the vet in this small town, rural community, his partner has died unexpectedly. And so here he is trying to keep the clinic afloat when his partner was kind of the businessman of the organization. And then here he's got this intern that, you know, when you have an intern, if you have any kind of integrity at all, you recognize that the person coming in as an intern, they're not coming to offer free labor. They're coming to learn,
right,
to receive an education. And so he recognizes this. He feels responsible, but he's also like, I don't know if I can do both. And he's grieving. And so she kind of walks into that mess. And that's the story in a nutshell. Of course, there is I'm trying to think if my publisher put it on the back of the, I think they did. There's also some drugs go missing, which creates just some, you know, a lot of suspicion and distrust and concern and anxiety. So, and uncertainty,
right. Yeah,
for her, obviously. So
I've started to touch on that and what I've read so far in the book. I was going to say, don't go any further because I haven't read the rest of it. But the whole drug thing, of course, I would think that the suspicion might be cast on her because, after all, she's the new kid on the block type of thing. So we'll see. We'll see. But I love the vet.
Yeah.
I love the vet theme because I've got to tell you this. My granddaughter is in pre-vet school right now.
Nice.
So I love the whole vet thing. I just read another book recently that had a vet in it, and I said, oh, this is so cool. And I know exactly what you mean as I'm reading that book. It just, you know, brings my granddaughter to mind. So I'll probably finish it in the next couple of days. It's really a good story. I'm so enjoying it, Jennifer, and it was just a perfect time for me to to receive it, start reading it.
Nice. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. At this point, I'd like to take a short break. This is where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Jennifer Slattery. Jennifer is an author, also the founder of Holy Loved Ministries. We talked quite a bit about her ministry. Jennifer shared a lot about her young life and how she found her way from darkness to light. Coming up, we'll be talking about Jennifer's podcast. She is also a podcaster. She's also a speaker. So we'll be talking a little bit about that and ways that Jennifer shares her passion to help women experience Christ's freedom in all areas of their lives. If you'd like to listen to this show again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, you can go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That is spelled PattySheen.com. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. You'll find a link to all of the shows we have recorded to date. Also, under each show is a More Information tab, and that will give you information about how to connect with our guests through their websites and social media. Here on Step Into the Light, as you know, our guests' dark time they have encountered and how they found their way back to light, in my opinion, you've shared a lot already. But is there any other particular incident or difficult time in your life that you particularly had in mind that you wanted to share at this point, Jennifer? Or like I say, I mean, you shared quite a bit of, you know, is there anything else that you feel you wanted to add?
No, I think that's it. Except for just to, I guess,
okay.
For whoever's listening, is just the encouragement that I think sometimes we get the impression that, okay, we had this dark period, it'll last a month, it'll last a year, and then it's everything's going to be yay, okay. And I know my journey of really deep healing, like I said, took like 15 years. And in many ways, I still have things I'm healing from in this, you know, just from things we experience in our broken world. So I think probably just to reiterate that, you know, God does want to bring us to wholeness, but the journey might take a little longer than maybe we anticipate. And if we feel like we're not making the progress, or if we feel like we're still hurting, or still our perception is still warped, we're still distrustful of people, whatever it is, not to think that means we're going to hurt forever. Just recognizing that it is a journey, and sometimes it hurts most when the healing begins, and we can. I'm walking alongside other people and they're hurting. I've noticed there's a tendency when we get in a place of where we feel safe and secure and where we're kind of, you know, maybe we're getting plugged into a church and starting to grow in Jesus, sometimes he'll allow us to feel things that we have really worked really hard not to feel. And that can be overwhelming. And the tendency is, because it feels frightening, because it feels overwhelming, point where, like, I remember when I first started to really feel, I thought I was going to hurt for the rest of my life at that present intensity. Like, in my mind, I was really going to be completely broken for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just to recognize that, no, that doesn't mean you're going to be broken, that hurting that deeply for the rest of your life, but you will have to probably feel it and deal with it before you can heal, and that might take time.
I agree with that. That's the truth. It kind of reminds me of when you have like a surgery. Now, the only surgery I ever had was foot surgery, but when I really came out of that, I was in a cast and there were, my mobility was very limited. I couldn't walk for almost 3 months without either a boot, that cast or something. And boy, there were times when you just felt like, I just don't want to go through this. And you know, mm-hmm. you have to mm-hmm. get to the other side, and there's pain and there's discomfort and there's the frustration mm-hmm. of not being able to do things for your own, and it's a physical analogy, and a psychological mm-hmm. emotional analogy can take even longer. It can take years and years. Yes, mm-hmm. I definitely mm-hmm. understand what you're saying. I'm excited to ask you, Jennifer, about your podcast, since I'm a podcaster as yeah. well. It's very exciting to talk to another podcaster on the show. So tell us about your Faith Over Fear podcast, and why did you choose to focus your podcast on the subject of fear? I think that's very interesting. What was your mindset when you mm-hmm, set up your mm-hmm. podcast as why you wanted to target that?
Well, I hate to give the same answer, but it kind of God had the idea before me. I had been sensing God calling me to like podcast for about, I think, 2 years prior. And I just kept kind of putting it off. I had ministry partners saying like, you know what, we should do a podcast. And then my daughter was like, Mom, you should do a podcast. And then we had at the time, one of our members was doing radio, like short little radio devotions for a local station. And they contacted us and like, hey, you know, the guy that we were working with, he said, I'm going to be taking a new position. I'm going to teach you guys to use equipment at your house. And I'm like, okay, so now God's teaching me too. So, and mm-hmm. then it was about, I want to say like 2 months later, where Salem, who I have been writing for about 12 years now, I think, they contacted me and they said, hey, we're starting a new podcasting platform. Would you consider podcasting for us? And by that point, I'm like, okay, if I say no, that would be clear disobedience. But I was just, honestly, Patty, I was really freaked out. I'm like, what if I bore people? Like, why are they not going to listen to me? What do I have to say? And so it was really hard, but I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this. And then I realized I really liked it. Now, as far as the fear aspect, it was, you know, I was kind of proposing different ideas that I thought I wanted to, that I could maybe cover. And my producer came back and said, you know, it sounds like topics are related to fear. What would you think about doing Faith Over Fear? And I'm like, okay. and so, again, I think God just knew that we would be, our world would be in a really frightening place right now. And I think there are so many people who are seriously struggling, because there's so much has gone on that I don't think the human brain can fully process, and it happens so quickly that before someone can kind of process the previous thing, then something new happens, and then something new happens, and then something new happens. And so I think people are just really needing extra support, truth-based support, to help them fight their fears. And I think we just have so much bombarding us every day that we don't know how to sift through. And you know, I would encourage everyone to like turn off the news and never watch it again, but that's just me.
I do think
it's just you know, again, God just goes before us, right? And says, hey, I know people are gonna be in a place where they need this thing, and so I'm gonna start building some support systems. And so yeah, that's kinda how it started.
Well, you have definitely launched this podcast at the right time in history, Jennifer, you know, with the pandemic and just like you said, all that you hear on the news. I mean, there are just so many things that can freak a person out to the point where you're afraid to walk out the front door anymore. You can really get yourself to the point where you're absolutely terrified to even live your daily life. So I've listened to a couple of the podcasts, and thank you for answering God's call and being obedient and bringing that podcast to light, Jennifer. And also tell us about your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I have to admit, I haven't accessed that one as yet.
Yeah. So I do that with Grace Fox. I don't know if you know her. I adore her. If you can ever, a little plug for Grace, if you ever find any books or devotions from her, she is just phenomenal. So I just got to give a little, I feel like I'm kind of coming alongside in her shadow saying, teach me, can I work with you?
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually, she and I were kind of just have been, she was on Faith Over Fear, I mean, or in early phases of it, like the first year. I just loved her immediately. And I guess she felt like God had put in her, whenever she would think of a podcast, she would kind of think of me. And I had been wanting to do something along the terms of you know, Bible verse or in part, I mean, and this is everything with me, Patty, I have to apologize, is like a super long story. So I mean, I apologize to the listeners, but it came from like two things. When we were in Louisiana, Bossier City, Louisiana, actually, and my husband went through a period of unemployment. And during that time, I worked for a local daycare center. And prior to then, I was homeschooling, and I just kind of had this really naive idea of parenting based on my experience, right? Like, I had plenty of time to read the Bible to my daughter, so why couldn't everybody else? Like, I had plenty of time to read scripture. Why couldn't anyone else? And then I started, God just really opened my eyes when I'm working with some of these women who they're single moms, they're barely making it. Their kids were sick and then they were sick. I mean, there were just so many challenges just to their day. Like, they were just fighting to survive each day. And I remember just watching them thinking, how can we help them get scripture? Like, knowing that how important the Bible is to parent well, to live well, like, you know, just any to for any part of life, and thinking like, how can we help them? And that never went away. So that was back in 2006, I think, maybe. And just that idea never went away. Well, then at the church I'm at now, for a while I led their single mom ministry. And again, I'm just thinking like, okay, these women need scripture, like, to help them make wise choices and to build strength into their life and to help them parent well. But when I would talk to them about it, I would hear the same thing over and over: we don't have time. And so, again, I'm back to praying, like, what can we do? And it hit me, I'm like, well, you guys drive, right? Like, you have at least a 10-minute drive to work, mm-hmm. to and from every day. So listen to scripture. And so it kind of was, those two ideas have been on my heart for a long time. Just how can we make scripture accessible to those who feel really short on time? I actually approached Salem at that point. I'd been doing the Faith Over Fear podcast for a while. And I said, you know, Grace and I would love to do this thing. And they had an established podcast, the Your Daily Bible Verse. And so just through communication, they decided to let us kind of take over the show. And so we've been doing that. We split it. And I have really enjoyed it.
Wonderful. And I think the last thing I'd like to have you share with listeners, Jennifer, is your speaking ministry. You do speak to women's groups, you speak to writers' groups, you speak to all kinds of different folks. What are your favorite speaking topics and why?
Yeah, so kind of like what you said with your podcast, how you notice things in hindsight as you kind of look through and you could recognize similar themes. I would say probably a lot of it just has to do with living in the freedom of Christ. And I approach that from so many different ways because there's so many things that can hinder our freedom, whether it's fear, whether it's past hurts, whether it's sin, whether it's deception. I mean, there's so many things that can hinder that. But I often wonder if we really recognize the depth of freedom that Christ wants us to experience, emotional and spiritual freedom. I once heard someone say, which I think is so, so valid, we cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. Like, as God brings us to spiritual maturity, he automatically is also bringing us to increased wholeness. Like, those two always go together.
Wow, I like that. I'm going to write that down. Say that again.
Yeah, so as God brings us to increase spiritual maturity, he automatically brings us to increased wholeness. Those things always go together.
I really like that. Yes, that's true.
And so I don't think we recognize the depth of freedom that he has promised and is really calling us to. I don't know if we really believe that that's possible. And I do believe it's possible. I'm still working towards that, but I do believe it's possible. Second of all, I don't know if we recognize how much it meant to him that we would experience that freedom. And when we think about the freedom he calls us to, because a lot of, like, well, we're free from sin. Yes, we are. That's true. And there's life in that. But what he's calling us to, what he told his disciples before he died, he's like, I give you my peace and I give you my joy. Those were like some of his last words to them. And then in John 10, verse 10, he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. He said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. So our spiritual enemy, we have a spiritual enemy, and he is always working to kill everything good that God is giving us, kill our joy, kill our peace, kill our relationships, ultimately kill our souls if he can. If he can't do that, if we belong to Christ, mm-hmm. he's going to kill our joy and our peace and try to keep us in chaos and despair
yes.
and steal our hope. But Christ is working simultaneously to restore us and to heal us and to bring us, he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, in the Greek word that he actually used, this isn't to say like abundant life, but the actual terminology that he used, it's this idea of think of like a bucket that has just been filled with the goodness of God to the capacity that it no longer can be contained within the bucket, and it just spills out. Well, that is the type of life that Christ wants for us to have, that he wants so much for us that he was willing to die to give it. And I think if we recognize that, the price that he paid in order to give us abundant, filled to overflowing beyond our expectations of life, and a peace that is reigns above anything we might, and a joy that is not dependent on our circumstances, if we recognize those are the things that he died to give us, then we're more apt to follow him towards them. So I think there's a distrust that we can experience with Christ because we live in a broken world where we're used to people taking from us and not giving, where we're used to kind of bait and switch in life a lot, where we're mm-hmm. where we're used to getting hurt and where we're used to disappointment. We can carry all of those kind of the worldview that creates. We can carry that into our Christian relationship, into our relationship with Christ without even realizing it. And that impacts our obedience. And if we can start to unpack those things and say, okay, does this make sense with what I know about God? Does this make sense with what I know about Scripture? And if I'm feeling this way about God, if I'm carrying these fears and these distrusts, then first of all, what is it saying I believe about him? That he's not really loved, that he's not really unconditional, that he's not really good, that he's not really faithful? And if so, then what doubts do I need to bring to him? And just honestly ask him about, like, because I had times where I'm like, Lord, I don't know, like, especially in my healing journey, I don't know if you're good to me. Like, I don't know if you're really going to be good to me. I just would continually bring that to him. And now I've gotten to a place where I'm like, okay, Lord, show me where I'm deceived. Show me
yes.
where I have cracks in my faith. And so I think that's just kind of a process of just growing in freedom that I want to help people discover the way there, I guess, to kind of answer your question, because I think a lot of times we, without meaning to, we can present with our Christian messages and our quick little sermons and our short little devotions that, you know, say this verse, say this prayer, and boom, everything's going to be great, right? Just if you've got fear, mm-hmm. just,
yeah.
you know, be anxious for nothing, but with everything and prayers and supplication, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will be yours in Christ Jesus. True. But that was one verse out of the full book that Paul wrote,
yeah.
right? Out of the full book of Philippians. We can't just take that one verse and, I mean, it was just like we wouldn't go to math class and we wouldn't plop open the math book and grab one equation and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And now I know calculus, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah. So helping people understand all of those verses we kind of talked about, they're true, But we need to recognize they're true in context, and the freedom of Christ comes from as we just absorb the full gospel message throughout Scripture, and helping people recognize that and then begin to unpack things that keep them from that and to help them to see the steps towards that.
Very good. Very good. Jennifer, you have shared so much with us in this past 45 minutes or so. Oh, my goodness. I want to thank you so much. I'm so glad that we connected again and that you were able to come on the show. So just want to express my appreciation for your time and all that you shared. And I just love that you share such passion. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
And may God continue to bless you in all your endeavors, of which you have many. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. I'd like to encourage you to go to PattySheen.com, that's PattySheen.com. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll find a link to today's show and all the shows that we have recorded to date. Under each show is a More Information tab, and there you'll find a link to website and social media information for Jennifer and for all of our guests and their shows. Thank you so much for listening today. God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a